We are in a series on Power Encounter. Last week we talked about the power of a testimony, and we have these rocks up here, and somebody forgot to move them, so they're still here. No, Jason. Last week we actually took some time and we actually wrote on them what God has done in our life as a testimony, a memorial, so that we could not only remind ourselves but remind others what God has done in our life. And so this week, Pastor Mark's going to help me, and we're going to try to share a few things with you. I in the middle of the week, we sent out an email asking for testimonies, and so I got a couple of them here. Let me just read. Chris Massad, actually. Where's Chris at? It's no fun when you're not here. But I'll read it anyways. Chris Massad, my good friend. He's a great encourager to me personally. This is what he sent me, an email. Says, I've been praying for years for a couple of good pastors that can really preach the Word of God and make it interesting and exciting. And he just writes, I'm still praying for that. So just really appreciate the encouragement. I told him, don't give up, just keep praying. God answers. All right. Have another one here. This is from John Adami. John usually comes in the morning, 9 a.m. He was here this morning. He said, there are so many testimonies since before and during and after my commissioning 3 years ago, talking about our men's commissioning. He says, I remember Johnny told us to write them down, even on our shorts, if we had to. He said, about 4 years ago, I was laid off for 2.5 years. At first, I felt sorry for myself, and I asked, why me? I had been working as a mechanic for over 30 years, and then shortly after the layoff, I was at Albert Burgos' house, my son-in-law, and then a man came over and I started to share with him what had happened. I shared with him how scared I was and how bad I felt. This man was Johnny Kinder. He introduced me to the men's curriculum, and that was the beginning of many testimonies to come. He says, God is good even when we are not. So to August 2010, my unemployment benefits had ran out. Shortly after that, we couldn't afford to make payments on our house. 2 days before Christmas, I was doing yard work and suddenly started thinking about my old boss, how he was doing. I'd worked for him for 10 years and I suddenly quit. I like this. He says, my stupid pride was injured and so I thought I would show him. I didn't have the guts to admit after I had left Midas. Everything went downhill. As I was saying, 2 days before Christmas, I was thinking of him. Hilda told me to go see him, because my mother-in-law called to tell me that he was looking for a lube tech. Before, I would never consider a demotion, or that's what I would call it. Then I remember God's word, do not despise small beginnings. I love this. So I went to Midas. I talked to Ken. That was his boss. He said, we talked for about an hour. He asked me why I was so happy there before. I admitted that my attitude had got in the way. And even if he had paid me $100 an hour, I would still be unhappy. After we talked, he mentioned that he would let me know about his decision after the holidays. He called me the next day before Christmas and told me that he thought about what I had said all night and in the morning. He said, I think I need to rehire you. And he goes on to say that he got hired the next day after Christmas. Isn't that a great story? And the part to me, I mean, the job is great, right? But the attitude change is what's really awesome. Amen? That is a great testimony. So I just love that. I appreciate those of you that did send in some testimonies this week. If you didn't send one in, send them in. We love to read them and share with them what God is doing. So we began to talk last week about the power of a testimony and what it can do in your life. And that the current battles that we're facing today, the ammunition that we need to defeat the enemy today is based on our testimonies, what God has done in our past, by remembering and declaring what God has already done. Last week we were talking about that a testimony is, it really reveals who God is. It reveals His nature. And that really God is the hero of the story. Amen? In every testimony we need to make sure that God is a hero of the story. We mentioned how that testimony involved remembering and declaring, and how it's not just important not only is it important, just to remember what God has done, it's important for us to declare it, to speak it out, because nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless it's spoken. So we need to speak out the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we talked about how a testimony should transform our thinking and our behavior, and that we should go beyond that testimony. And this is the thing that I, as Sound Pastor Mark earlier, I said, man, I just really want to try to get across last week and just kind of want to reiterate today, is that a testimony is more than just saying, thank you, Jesus. A testimony is more than just giving God praise. It does that, but it is more than that. A testimony, when you share a testimony, it creates an atmosphere for God to do that same thing again.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When you begin to share your testimony, it gives you faith. It creates that environment. I believe it's actually a prophetic thing that happens when we begin to share our testimony. We are releasing an anointing for the miraculous to happen again. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead, Mark.
You know, I was just thinking about John Adami's testimony about this job that was provided. And this morning, we baptized Chris in the first service. And Chris has just got an amazing story of how God delivered him from drugs and the life of alcohol and all kinds of crazy stuff. And not only did God kind of restore what's going on in his life, he's got a brand new walk with God. He was baptized today. All his family just lined up in rows here. Yeah. It was awesome to see that. And he was talking about how he's a brand new man. The old man's been put under and the new man, you know, all of that. And he walked, it seems supernaturally, walked in right out of this lifestyle, walked in, and God gave him a great job and just provided that income for him. And then we were talking this morning to Tom, who'd been out of work for 2.5 months, and just praying and trusting and just hoping and all of that, and God came through and gave him an incredible job. And I just I know this is not in the notes here, Pastor James, but just for a moment, if we could, I just kind of feel a little bit of faith about this.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you,
that's
if you've
good.
Got a need in your life right now that's related to needing a job, a better job, a promotion, finances, whatever it is, would you just lift your hand up right where you're seated, just all across the house? I feel like that there's faith right now for this.
Amen.
Amen. So here's what I'd like you to do. Just right where you're seated, those of you that are sitting right there, would you just reach up and put a hand on their shoulder? And we're just going to speak a word of provision right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we declare that you are the source of all good things. God, that all good and perfect gifts comes down from heaven above, from our Father. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the God who provides all things would provide right now for every person in this house that needs a financial miracle, God. For those that need employment, I pray, God, that you would prepare the hearts of employers, that you would give them favor in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I pray, God, for those that are on a job that need a promotion. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring the right people into their lives and the right connections so that that promotion would happen. And I pray, God, that you would open up the windows of heaven and that you would pour out a blessing upon every one of them, God, that they could move from jobs perhaps that they are discontent with into the favor and the blessing of God, exactly what you have called them to have.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let it be done, God, right now. And we give you glory for it. Would you give him praise?
Amen.
Give him some praise for that right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Good.
Hallelujah. So last Sunday was just such an incredible day, and just seeing everybody come down here and have a rock in their hand. And it might have been a little scary for some people to see a whole group of religious people with rocks in their hands. Like, what is that?
A bad sign.
What does that bring to mind? But it was actually a good thing. And we were writing down on these rocks what God had done in our lives, testimony. Some people wrote down the day that they were healed of cancer.
Yeah.
Some people wrote down the day they got that job, or perhaps they were able to have a baby when the doctors had said that's not possible, and all just incredible miracles that were written down on those rocks. And I hope you've still got them, because these are awesome ways to actually share your testimony.
Yeah.
I talked to some people this week that, man, they're carrying their rock around in their car or in their purse or whatever. And, man, pull that rock out and show somebody. Just say, see this rock right here? This is what it reminds me of. Every time I look at it, this is what God has done.
Amen.
And so share your testimony with somebody. Now, you say, okay, you keep talking about that. We got to share the testimony. Why? Why do I need to share my testimony? Well, number one, we're just going to give you several easy points here today. Number one is that a testimony is meant to be shared. When God does something in your life, it's not for you just to go take it and hide and, you know, sit in your closet and enjoy it. It's actually meant to be shared for a reason. Let me give you a couple of verses here to back this up. Mark chapter 1 and verse 44. This, of course, Jesus healed a lot of people, but this particular man that he healed, this is what he told him. He said, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, this is what's awesome about this. Now, you know, sometimes we just want to go out and tell anybody and everybody, but I like what this says here, is that God has in mind a specific person for you to share that testimony with. And when you share that testimony with that person, it literally can produce life transformation in them. So be sensitive to that. Say, "Okay, God, who do you want me to share this testimony with today?" Pastor James was saying we sent out an email earlier this week asking for some testimony, and really all of them were powerful, even Chris's. And we're going to join with you in prayer, Chris, that you'll get the pastors that you're really looking for there. Yeah. Some really inspiring pastors and all of that. Yeah. But I got it one email. We're just pointing at him. We want you to know that was him that did that. Yeah. So, but I wanted to share one that I got this week
get
from
some of these rocks for a minute.
Yeah, there you go. Just hold on to those rocks. We can use those. But this is from Danielle, and she was actually here in our first service this morning. And Danielle wrote this testimony in this week, and this is what she said. "A few weeks ago after a sermon here at Lifesong, I was up at the altar praying yet again for God to show me my heart and to heal my wounds and free me from my chains. I had been struggling with a particular sin that was holding me back from being close with God and experience His full purpose in my life. But the crazy thing was, I didn't even know what the real sin was. I had a surface sin, sex, that was evident to me, but I didn't understand why it was an issue and why I struggled with it so much. Well, that day at church, as I was crying my heart out and praying for mercy and forgiveness and healing, God answered my prayers in a way I never would have imagined. A woman named Melissa approached me." Melissa is, of course, our missionary to Tanzania and different places. "Melissa approached me and put her hands on me and began to pray for me. And then I turned to her, and when she spoke with me, I heard God speaking those words through her as clear as day. God used Melissa to tell me that He saw the pain I was in, and He was going to heal me if I only would let Him. He told me that I've been holding on to a deep inner idol inside my heart, the love and acceptance of a man, so strongly that I didn't even realize it. And this idol has been controlling me all my life. But God told me that He was going to rip that idol from within me and heal me in such a deep and penetrating way that I would never have to suffer under its rule again. He told me that I needed to get rid of my idols and make God my father figure and my source of love and acceptance, that I didn't need to search for those things from men anymore, and He was going to give me the strength to stop and to change. And here I was, I didn't even understand what was wrong with me or why I was acting out in sin the way I was, and God spoke to me and assured me of His love and affection and mercy, and that I didn't need to be afraid, that He would hold me tight and heal me and comfort me as I bear the pain of having the sin torn from my heart and life and replaced with His love. It has not been an easy road, as I have lived under the controlling force of this life for my entire life since my father left us. But God has been faithful." God has been faithful in healing me, and I know that He will not give up on me, even when I feel like giving up on myself. This is my most recent testimony of answered prayer. It's only one among the many. Danielle." Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what makes that even doubly awesome for me is that that's my niece. And I saw her come in broken several months ago, maybe a year ago, to Lifesong, and I've just seen an absolute transformation in her life. Just incredible. So, you know, we said that a testimony is meant to be shared. Why is that? It's because something happens when you share a testimony. Did you kind of feel that this morning when we're talking about the job situation and we're talking about even this testimony right here? There's just something that kind of stirs up in your heart as you hear what God has done. And I was thinking about that because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus is actually giving instructions to the church that's getting ready to form on the day of Pentecost just a few days later. And He gives them this promise. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's very, very important. What He's saying is, "I'm going to empower you to become witnesses." Well, what is a witness exactly? If you think about our current court system, if you go into a courtroom and you sit up on a stand and a chair, you are witnessing to something that you have seen or you have heard. And what is it called when you're sitting in that chair? What are you doing? You're testifying. You are giving your testimony in open court about that situation. That's interesting because Jesus uses this word for what he wants the New Testament church to do. And it's so important that you can find in the 27 chapters of the book of Acts, the word witness, testify, is actually used 20 different times. And the Bible says that the church, the early church, literally turned the world upside down. How did they do that? They did it through the power of a testimony. And so you're saying, why are you talking about testimony? It's because God wants to turn your world upside down. And he will do that if you will share what God has been doing in your life. You say, well, I really don't have something dramatic. You know, I mean, I wasn't healed of cancer, or I didn't raise somebody from the dead, or, you know, I don't have anything. Let me just show you how that every single one of us here today have a testimony that's worth sharing. Let me just show you this from 1 John chapter 5, just a couple of verses here. Starting at verse 10, it says this, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe that God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Now watch this, verse 11. And this is the testimony. Are you ready for your testimony? Here it is. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Amen. And this life is in his Son.
Yes.
If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you sit here today experiencing eternal life, then you have a testimony.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Then it goes on. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Look at the next verse, verse 12. Do I have that in there, or did I just write verse 12? I don't have that. Okay. So that's the testimony, that we have eternal life. Now I know, incredible things. When God takes you and saves you and delivers you from sin, we started just a few weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we started our Fresh Start table back here. And this is what we do in our services, is we make sure that in every service that we call people, we say, listen, if you want a fresh start with God, if you want to repent of your sins, if you want to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection, it's God wants to wash you and cleanse you. And I love that what Chris said this morning for his baptism testimony. He said, man, he goes, I want to take this old man and I want to put him in that water and I want to come out as a brand new man. That's what God wants to do in your life, a fresh start. So we did that 5 weeks ago. And counting this morning, right now, we have about 95 people in the last 5 or 6 weeks that have experienced a fresh start with God. Isn't that awesome? Amen.
Amen.
So what that is, it's 95 testimonies of what God has done. Incredible. And we could share with you so many more. Let me give you one more point real quick, and then Pastor James is going to come back. When you share your testimony, not only will faith arise in your heart, but faith is going to arise in that other person's heart as well. And when faith arises, there's something so powerful about a testimony. Let me give you number two, because this is what happens. A testimony destroys the enemy. Let me show you Revelation 12 and verse 11. I love this. And they overcame him. That's the enemy, the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They understood the blood of the Lamb. That's a reference to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, what he did on the cross. They understood that what he did on that cross changes everything. And they went around talking about that, sharing their testimony. This is what Jesus did. He shed his blood. Look how my life has changed. And when they shared that testimony, they literally overcame the enemy. One of the best ways that you can overcome the devil in your life is to just start talking about what God has done. Just share your testimony, and the enemy's destroyed. Yeah. Amen.
Let me just share one more thing about that before we go to the next point, is that also I believe one of the ways to overcome the enemy is to stick with what you know, and that is the power of the testimony. Yeah. You know your testimony better than anybody else, right? I love that story in John chapter 9. You guys remember that guy that was blind? Jesus healed him. It's a crazy story because Jesus heals this guy, and then immediately all the religious people, they get him, they start questioning him, like, you know, how did this happen? Who was this guy? Who, you know, speaking of Jesus, what did he say over you? They brought his parents in. I mean, they were just grilling them, to, you know, because they were jealous, really, of Jesus' ministry. And it was so interesting because this guy finally says, I mean, he says, I don't know, but the one thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see.
That's right.
That is a power of a testimony. You know, you can say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know all that theology. I don't know all that kind of stuff. Listen, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. If you have a testimony, stick to that. Amen.
Right.
Say, listen, I don't know, but man, I was messed up. I don't know if that's your testimony, but that's my testimony, right? I mean, you were messed up and God saved you. He healed you. And you can say, listen, I don't know about all of the other stuff, but I know what he did for me.
Yeah.
Amen. One of the other things I'll just say about that is it's important too, especially for people who deal with illness, long-term illness. It's very important for you to not get discouraged. And, you know, we can get to the point where we say, you know, I've been prayed for 1,000 times and nothing's happened. You know, I've had this person pray for me and I thought this person was a really big faith healer, so I went to them, prayed, you know, and nothing's happened. Can I just tell you, listen, this is what I believe. Every time that you get prayed for, it should be like the first time. Maybe you've been praying for that thing, you know, 100 times. You just come and you have the faith. Say, you know what?
Yeah.
Man, I'm just believing God like the
right.
First time I've ever been prayed for that. I told you the story a few months ago about my sister when she was real young, who had a speech impediment. And that my mom would bring her up to get prayer, and week after week, bring her up. And then one Sunday, my mom was just kind of tired of bringing her up, you know, for prayer. And the pastor just called her and said, "What are you doing? You know, get up here. Let's pray. Bring her up there. Bring your baby up here." And she brought my sister, and that was the day that God healed my sister from her speech.
Yeah.
But my sister sings, she writes songs, she speaks, all that kind of stuff now. Isn't that amazing? Are you going to interrupt me? Because you interrupted me last time. Are you going to do that? No, go ahead. You interrupted me last time. I'm so used to it, I'm just waiting.
It was a good interruption. I just jumped in because something popped into my head when we were talking about this. About there was actually some research done on people that go get prayed for. And when they did this particular study, it showed that 20% of the people that got prayed for the first time were healed right then. Now, that's an incredible thing. Think about that. If you knew that out of 10 people that were coming to get prayed for, two of them were going to get their healing right then, kind of make you want to get prayed for, right? But here's the thing. 20% of those who got prayed for the first time got healed. But 80% of people who got prayed for 10 times were healed. So what does that say? That means
amazing.
It doesn't matter how long this thing's been hanging on. I'm going to keep coming back, and I'm going to keep coming back because I am going to get my miracle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's great. Okay, don't interrupt me anymore. Okay, point number three. Let's go on. A testimony increases faith. I love this because if you can remember what God has done for you and you can dwell on it and you can meditate on it and you can share it, not only will it increase your faith, but it will also increase the faith of others.
Yeah.
I love the story of David. David had a testimony. He kept it fresh. If you were in Sunday school, you'll know this story. David was the youngest of his brothers. His brothers are in battle. They're camped out. David's father sends him to go check on the brothers, see how they're doing. And when he comes to this place, he hears this Goliath, this giant. And this giant is just talking trash to the Israelite army, calling them out. Come and fight me. And nobody wants to fight him. They're scared to death. Let me pick it up and I'll read this. We'll just read the story. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Look what Saul replied, verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able." Let's just pause there for a minute. David is coming in there and saying, pick me, you know. You guys don't have, I have little kids. The Shrek movie, he says, pick me, I'm sorry. David says, listen, I will go and fight him. I'm coming in there. I am ready. Don't get discouraged. I'm ready to fight. And the first thing he hears out of Saul's mouth is, "You are not able to go." He says, "You can't fight him. You're only a young man. He's been a warrior he's been a fighting man since his youth." I find it so interesting because, you know, there's sometimes when you're trying to help somebody, you're trying to do a good deed, and they remind you of your own shortcomings. How can you do that? How can you start a business? How can you go to college? Nobody in our family has been to college before. How can you start a ministry? How could you go on a mission trip? All of these things. But it was so interesting because Saul said, you're not able to fight him. What he was saying is, David, you're a wimp. You're too weak. You're too small. You're puny. You don't have the armor. Saul was really saying, I think? Saul was really saying this. David, I'm stronger than you. David, I've been in battle. You've never even been in a battle, David. I've fought men. I have armor. David, I have a saw. I have a sword. Sorry. You're supposed to catch me. That's what you're up here for. Okay. David, I have a sword. David, I have a shield. David, I have an arm. You know that Saul actually had an armor bearer that would actually go out in front of him when he would fight. He actually had another guy there with a shield to block arrows and stuff like that from coming. He says, David, all you have is a slingshot. What Saul was really saying is, you know what? David, you don't have none of that, and I have all that, and I am scared. I'm the one that's really scared. Because it's really my responsibility to go out and fight them, and I don't want to fight them. Isn't that interesting how that happens? Don't let people, that's the power of a testimony. Don't let other people talk you down and tell you they can't do it or that you can't do it, because really what they're saying is, I was too scared to do it, or I'm too afraid to do it. That was kind of free, but we'll just move on here. Okay. See, Saul was looking to himself to be the Savior, while David was focusing on God. Look at this. Look at verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. Now look at verse 37. I love verse 37. The Lord. Everybody say the Lord. You know, it sounded like at first that David was saying, I did this, right? I mean, I kicked that, you know. I mean, I ripped that lion's, you know, all that. Okay, verse 37. But he said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, go. I love that. Look at verse 4. I want to read. Let me just jump down to verse 47. Verse 47. All those who are gathered here will know that it is not by the sword. This is what David is saying to Goliath. All those who are gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is what? Is the Lord's. See, David knew that, hey, listen, God delivered me from that lion. It wasn't, David understood. See, I think there's two different things here. Saul was thinking, you know, David, I fought some battles and I've won and I know how tough it is, but this is a big guy. This is Saul, King Saul. He's saying, listen, I have fought some battles. I have fought men, but this guy is a giant and I'm scared of him. But David has a different perspective. Because David is not looking at his own muscles. He's not looking at his sword or his spear. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, it was the Lord. I knew that I wasn't strong enough to rip that lion's head off.
Right.
I knew that I'm not strong enough to take care of that bear. I know that it was the Lord that delivered me. And so if the Lord delivered me, I'm talking about the power of a testimony, right? It will create faith. If the Lord did that for me, he can do that for this giant in my life.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're getting all excited
over
there.
I'm sorry. That's exciting to me.
He's ripping things.
I'm ripping things. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the reason I didn't jump in there was because I thought you said that he had a saw. I was like, well,
yeah.
Maybe the Hebrew.
I was trying to bring it into the, you know, 21st
maybe the Hebrew word for sword is saw.
Saw.
That's pretty cool, actually. You know. But so what I love about David is that David told Goliath, he says, look, you're coming against me with a sword, a spear, a shield, and all of that.
Yeah.
He said, but I am coming against you. I'm not coming with my sling.
Right.
I'm not coming to you, you know, with my little man muscles, that kind of thing. I am coming to you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
That's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Because the name, there's something about the name of the Lord that's powerful. I'm going to show you that with this next point. When you share your testimony, when you, even with yourself, like what David was just talking about, what God had done in his life, it increased his faith so that he could believe God could do something incredible with this giant. So here's the fourth thing. When you give your testimony, it increases faith, and that means that a testimony sets you up for another miracle.
Yeah.
That's what's so incredible, and that's what we're talking about here. We call this the testimony of the name, and you're going to see that here in just a moment. The reason why this happens is because when you share your testimony, faith increases. When your faith in God increases, then all of a sudden, God can do a miracle, because God does not respond to human need. He responds to human faith.
Yeah.
Everybody got the distinction between that?
Yeah.
God doesn't respond just to every need that's in the world. He responds when his children put their faith in him. And that's what makes us different than the world, because we put our faith and our trust in God. People that don't have this, I was talking to somebody about this just the other day. I don't know how unbelievers cope in the world because they don't have this to rely on, man. When stuff goes wrong in their life, they're trying the drug, they're trying the booze, they're trying the scene, they're trying to go out and just, you know, all that. And I'm wondering, man, if that was the only hope that I had, I think I would just give up.
Yeah.
But there's something different, because we rely on something completely different than that as believers. And I wanted to share one verse, because we were talking about David. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He may very well have been the author of Psalm 20. And this is such an awesome verse, because it says this: when I'm getting ready to go into battle, when I'm getting ready to face an enemy, there are some people that will trust in chariots, and there are some that will trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
He said, yeah, they're going to trust in their strength and in their own resources, and they're going to trust in the government, or they're going to trust in something, but they're not putting their faith in God. We are going to remember the name of God. Now, why is that important? We're calling it the testimony of the name. Why is it important to remember the name of God? Names are interesting in our culture, because they don't mean what they used to mean. You say Mark, you get Mark. That's all you got. You say James, you get something pretty special It's James. Okay, but it's just a name. But with the name of God, it's something different than just a human name, because God has been progressively revealing things about himself from the very beginning. If you go back 6,000 years in recorded human history, back to the time of Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word for God there in the Hebrew language is the word Elohim. Elohim simply means the strong one, right? God didn't reveal everything there was to know about his character, about his attributes, about his nature. He just revealed a little piece of that. He said, I am the strong one. And so people begin to interact with God knowing that he was strong. Later on, God would reveal more about his character and about his nature. He would say, I am this and I am that. And at one point with Israel, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the great physician. Aren't you thankful for that revelation?
Yeah.
That God is our healer? And so God would reveal things about himself. But here's what's incredible, is that if you read the story, the developing story of God in the Bible, you will see that there were times when God was not the one who gave himself a particular name, but that man actually attributed a name to God. Pastor James mentioned this last week. He was talking about Abraham, and how Abraham was taking his son up to the top of Mount Moriah in obedience to God, and he was going to plunge that knife down into that boy's body and sacrifice him before the Lord, because he wanted to be obedient. But as he was reaching, as his hand was beginning to descend, the voice of God all of a sudden spoke and said, Abraham, stop. Yeah. Don't do that. I know that you are my child, and I know that you trust me and that you believe me, and so you don't need to sacrifice your son. And so Abraham looks up. Of course, he's so grateful. He's so thankful. Thank you, God. You know, and he looks up, and there in a thicket right next to the altar area is a ram that has been caught in that thicket by his thorns. And so here he has received a substitute. Am I getting excited over here? What are you laughing at?
Not thorns.
Did I say thorns? His horns were caught in the thorns. But then David showed up with his saw and cut the thorns away, and the ram was free. Hallelujah. You just fix it whenever you need to fix it. Just jump right in. And so,
can you just keep praying, Chris?
Keep praying. It's going to happen, man. So this ram ends up becoming a substitute sacrifice. Instead of his son, it ended up being this ram. And so that's where Abraham gets a revelation about God. God help Pastor James. And he says, I understand now that God is Jehovah Jireh, which means God is my provider. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh, in terms of money and houses and lands and meeting my needs and my bills? All of that is true. There's an application there. But go back to the original story, and what Abraham was saying is God is the provider of a substitute sacrifice. And will that preach just Amen. For a little while? Because God sent his own son, and his own son, when I should have been the one crawling up on that cross, Jesus went to the cross for me. And so God is the provider of a substitute sacrifice in my own life. Amen. And so that was a revelation about the name of God that didn't come directly from God. It came from the experience that Abraham yeah. had as he interacted with God. He said, God is my provider. And then there's another story. I'm going to hurry through this, but there's another story that I really like about Moses. And Moses is leading the children of Israel, and they've come against an enemy, the Amalekites, and it's they got to go to war. And so Moses climbs up on top of a cliff, and they enjoin in the battle, and Moses raises his hands, and they begin to fight. And I mean, the fight is going well. They are winning this battle. But Moses grows tired, and his arms begin to fall. And as his arms fall, they begin to lose the battle. And so Joshua sends up a couple of guys, man. He says, get up there and hold Moses' arms up. And when they held his arms up, all of a sudden they started winning the battle again, until by the end of the day, the battle had been won and the enemy had been defeated. And you know, it's kind of interesting, but it sounds kind of like David, you know, talking, I killed the bear and I killed the lion and I did all of this. And so it sounds like maybe they were the ones that won the battle. But watch what happens here, starting at verse 13. And this is an interesting spelling there for Exodus, I see. You'll see it here in just a second. I just realized I spelled it Exodux. Yeah, like there's ducks. Yeah, anyway. Okay, so verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrances of Amalek from under heaven. He says, listen, I want you to write this down as a testimony of what has happened today, that this is the day and this is the place that you have had an incredible victory. I want you to remember it. Come back to this book and read it over and over again. But watch in verse 15. It says, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. You know what's so powerful about that? In those days, when armies would go together to fight, as they were marching towards one another, they would raise up the banner, the flag of their particular kingdom and their particular king. And so you know who it was that you were going to fight against, because you could see their banner. But can you imagine if God, the one true and living God of the universe, if you're carrying his banner, if you're marching into battle with him, and the enemy sees that banner coming, the enemy just wants to turn and run as fast as he can, because he knows there's nobody bigger, nobody greater, nobody stronger than that God. And so here they fought the battle. They went through all of that, but in the end they said, God is my victory. The Lord is my banner. Now last week when we did these rocks, we came up here, we wrote down testimonies of things that God had already done. We said, God healed us of cancer. God provided a job. God did this. And we wrote that down. We wrote the dates down. What date we were saved. All of those things. And those are incredible testimonies. That's like what they did. Write it down as a memorial and recount it over and over again. Yeah. But did you know? Now this is what's awesome. We're going to take this to another level. Because did you know that you can literally attribute a name to God before it happens? You can literally, prophetically name what God is going to do or to be in your life. Wow. Let me show you what I mean. This comes in the story of Gideon. Okay, in Gideon's case, it was another time during the history of Israel when they were at war. The Midianites were just a brutal army that was coming in and stealing all of their food and their crops, everything that they had. And so one day, Gideon he's hiding out behind the barn, and he's trying to do a little bit of work back there, and an angel shows up, and the angel says, hey, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, who are you talking to? Because that is not who I am, yeah. Right? He says, no, you're a mighty man of valor, and this is what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to go into battle against the Midianites, and he wants you to wipe them out.
Yeah.
And Gideon says, you don't understand who you are talking to. He says, I am from the smallest village in Israel. I am from the smallest family in the village, and I'm the smallest runt in my family. I literally have no attributes. I have no value in myself to where I could be. I don't have big muscles. I'm not very tall. I don't have much education. I have all these limitations. But somehow the word of the Lord being spoken through this angel began to sink into his spirit. And that angel just kept saying, you are a mighty man. You are a man of God. You are going to go into war against these Midianites. Now get this. This is before the battle has happened. Before they have gone to war. Before they have had victory. And you know what happens after victory, right? After victory comes peace. After you defeat the enemy comes peace, right? And so none of that has happened yet, but watch this. This is so awesome because this is before the battle in Judges 6 and verse 24. And it says, so Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is my peace.
Yes.
Before the battle, before you face the enemy, he's already naming what God is to him. And I'm just wondering here today if there's anybody that has something going on in your life, an obstacle, some kind of a challenge, a crisis, an enemy, a giant, whatever it might be, and you have not yet overcome that enemy, but if you'll let faith arise in your heart today, you've got an opportunity to literally attribute a name to God that perhaps you've never even heard of before. I've got a feeling somebody could come up here in a few moments, Pastor James, and write down on a rock, God is the healer of my cancer, or God is the provider of my job, or God is the one that's going to get off the IRS off my back. That'll take a big rock. Whatever it is, that God, that's who he is, that's what his name really is. Is it any wonder that the psalmist said, some are going to trust in horses, some are going to trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord, my God.
Amen.
The name. Hallelujah. The saving name. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to bring this to a close. Hallelujah. In just a moment, Pastor James is going to come up. And we're going to pray for some specific things that we want to have happen in our life, whatever that might be. Direction, healing, deliverance. We're just going to believe that God is going to do, he's going to do a quick work. A quick work. I like how the Bible says that Jesus himself said, Luke 17, that if we'll pray, that God will answer speedily. Anybody want a speedy answer from God today? But this is what we're going to do real quick. Do you remember what we said in 1 John chapter 5? It said, this is the testimony. The testimony is that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. You want to talk about the greatest miracle? I mean, we see some incredible things happen. We see people healed. We're going to see things happen today. But the greatest miracle of all is when God transforms a human life. He takes it from a place of disbelief and hopelessness, and he gives you a fresh start. It was so awesome seeing Chris get baptized this morning. What a testimony of a fresh start. And this is so simple. What we're going to do here just at the beginning, I want to give an opportunity to any person in this place right now. You say, you know what? I don't know that I've really ever put my faith completely, absolutely in Jesus Christ. And I realize today that I've been trying to be the boss of my own life. I've been trying to do things my own way. And I want him to forgive me of that. I want him to wash me clean of that. What Chris said this morning for his baptism, he said, man, I want to go put this old man down and I want to come up a brand new person. And that's what God can do for you. It's not too difficult. This is what he does. This is who he is. By the way, did you know that the name Jesus in the Hebrew language literally means God is my Savior? And if that's what you want to experience today, you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment to come up and actually write that on a rock and to carry that on this day. On this day, God became my Savior. But I want to ask you a question just real quickly. If you're in this place right now and you say, you know what, that's where I'm at. I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to accept what he did, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want to put my faith in him. Ask him to wash me clean and give me a brand new beginning today. If that's where you're at, would you just slip a hand up right where you're at? Just slip a hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You understand what that means? Just that hand being up, this is a signal that new life is about to begin. Do you get that? Isn't that incredible? Just real quickly, Pastor James, in just a moment, we're going to do something different. But real quickly, those that raised your hand, would you just come join me right here on this side? We're going to get a rock. We're going to write down the words, God is my Savior, and our Fresh Start team is going to pray with you. Would you just come quickly, quickly? Come from all over, wherever you are at. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? Would you just give the Lord a hand clap while they're coming? Come on, give the Lord some praise. Dude, glad to see you, man. God bless you. Fresh Start team, would you come? Fresh Start team, I want you to come. You're going to pray. And this is what we're going to do. God bless you, man. We're going to give our hearts to God. We're going to put our faith in Him. We're going to ask God to just wash us clean of the past and give us a brand new beginning, a brand new fresh start. Hallelujah. And then when we pray that, Pastor James is going to take it. Fresh Start team, you just begin to pray. We're going to pray. Church, would you just begin to pray right now in Jesus' name? When we're done praying, we're going to take them back to the table and give them this great resources. But I want to pray that God will do something right now. Father, in your name, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for a fresh start. We thank you for mercies that are new every morning. And I'm asking you, God, right now in the hearts of every person that came down right now, that you would bring complete faith and forgiveness and healing and hope to them right now. That when they go to the doors of this place today, that they will have experienced a fresh start and a new beginning today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it be done. You can go ahead and continue praying. God bless you as you pray.
Amen. The way we're going to just close today is I'm going to ask everybody just to come down. And I want you to grab a rock. A little bit different from last week, but just come on down, grab a rock, Sharpie. And what we're going to do this time, as Pastor Mark says, we're going to write down what we need God to be. Not something that He's already done, but this is what we need God to be. Maybe it's a healer. Maybe you need joy in your life. You're going to write down joy. Maybe you need peace. You're going to write down peace. Whatever it is, you just write down. Maybe it's family. You're just going to write the word family down. You're going to say, God, I need you to touch my family. I want you just to write it down, because what we're going to do, we're going to declare before it happens. That's Gideon. We're going to declare that, God, you are this to me. You are my healer. You're my deliverer. Amen.